Okay, well, let's just go before the Lord. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, and we hold up your name up high. And we say that you are the only one that is worthy. You are the only one worthy to receive the glory, God. And so, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your holy word. And I thank you for the topic for tonight. God, I thank you for these beautiful, awesome children of the Most High God. Lord, that they have submitted to your word, that they have submitted to your spirit, that they have submitted to the Son, your one and only Son who laid his life down on a cross. So let every ounce of blood be dripped from his body for our sins, Lord, for our transgressions, Lord. Not because we deserve to have a Savior, but that's how much that you love us. Father, that's how much you love us, that you would allow your Son to be bruised and beaten, literally slaughtered, in a sacrifice as a sacrificial lamb for us, so that we would have eternal life. Father, I pray for this group that is on this phone as they represent the body of Christ, as they represent the bride of Christ, Lord. And I also pray for just that, the whole body of Christ and the bride. Lord, prepare us. Prepare us, Lord, as your groom wants to come. Prepare us, Lord God, and prepare our hearts, Lord. And I ask that you reveal to us anything that is in our heart that would be hindering your perfect wills in our business. Reveal to us, God, the things that are in our mind that are lies, that are strongholds, that are high places, that completely stop us from being the fullest that we can be in you, Lord. Father, I truly believe that you have the best at hand for your people, that your promises do end in yea and amen, and that you do desire to take us from glory to glory, not from glory to despair, but from glory to glory, Lord, which means that in these plans that all of our businesses exist in, that is to be up and up and up, Lord. That your way is easy and your burden is light, Lord, and that we just truly need to align with the truth and the Word of God that is living, that is alive, that has fire in it. That we need to agree with that, Lord. And I command right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, that all of us, that we submit and agree with the Word of God. Yeah. That, God, that we just completely reject every lie, every hindrance, that we come against the mind-boggling spirit, that we bind our mind to the mind of Christ, and we take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, God, that we would see heavenly things, that we would understand you more, that we want to be with you more, Lord, and that we honor you with our businesses, that we honor you, Lord, as marketplace kings, that we honor you as being marketplace evangelists and apostles, that we bring the gospel into the marketplace by our very actions, Lord, that we work as unto you, that we glorify you, that we seek your face, and that we don't worry about everybody else around us, that we give it our best shot every single day, God, and that we are not trampled, overcome, gripped, or trembled with fear. But that we walk forward knowing that you are the banner ahead of us, going into battle, God, and that the battle is yours and that it's not ours, and that we should fear nothing because you are for us, and who in the world could be against us? That no weapon formed against us will prosper, Lord. I know and I believe and I have seen that that is true. Father, we honor you, we glorify you, God, and I pray that my words just fall to the ground, but that, Lord, your words will prevail, that it will pierce the hearts of your people. Lord, I ask for straight deliverance and freedom and liberty tonight as we go before your word, Lord, and let your word speak truth and let it sanctify our souls. Yeah, let it tear down every high place of fear. Let it tear down every stronghold from generation to generation to this generation. Let it tear it down. We thank you that your word is a two-edged sword. So, Father, that's why I ask, let my words fall to the ground. Let them produce nothing, but, Lord, let your very word come out of my mouth. And let it fall on the ears who have ears to hear and eyes to see. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your presence. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Okay.
Thank you so much, Danny.
Oh, thank you. I have to say, Patty, this is the fourth prayer call that you've given me the opportunity to do, and this has been such a blessing. There's nothing more exciting to me than talking about God and talking about His Word and doing this. You guys, you know, as much as the emails that I've been getting about what a blessing this has been to you, there's no words to explain the blessing that this has been personally for me. Because I need self-control with studying the Word of God, because I could do it for 10 hours a day. I have 5 children, you know. But when it comes time for me preparing for other conference calls, I'm like, ah, this is so boring. But what this has done is it's so awesome because, you know, this week I did study over 500 scriptures again. I don't know why that's the magical number per subject that I seem to be landed on, but there are 500 scriptures concerning fear. And here's what it has done. It has rooted these topics, mostly 3 topics that we've talked about, so much stronger in me and so much more conviction in knowing that this is not humanism. This is reality. This is the Word of God from the beginning of the foundations of the earth. And so this has been such an enormous blessing to me, an absolute enormous blessing to me. And hearing the testimonies have just been so encouraging. And I'm going to miss you guys. I really am so going to miss this weekly thing that we've been doing. Hopefully in the future, now Patty and I are talking about being able to do a couple more from time to time, especially as everyone's schedules permit. So anyway, tonight's topic is about fear. And I know that fear is something that plagues the Lord's people. And I believe that fear is produced really mostly out of ignorance. And I hope I don't offend anybody in saying that. But if you can be really honest with yourself tonight, then you can discover strongholds and high places that God has told us to tear down. He commands us through the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah to tear down the high places in our life. And there's many of us that don't even realize that we do have high places in our life. You know, there are many disobedient kings that refused to tear down those high places. And I believe fear is a high place in a lot of people's lives, especially people in the network marketing industry. They talk about it in this, and we like to categorize fear. Like, for example, fear of success or fear of failure or fear of talking on the phone, fear of rejection. We hold that up. Now, how do you know what's a high place? What reigning thought do you have going on in your life when you are building your business? What is the reigning thought? Is it fear of making a mistake? Is it fear of being rejected? You know that when you go to pick up the phone, does this feeling of fear of rejection come on and you're worried about what the guy in his boxer shorts sitting in his lazy chair with his bag of Cheetos and his remote control is going to say to you about your business opportunity? And that's if you're working cold leads, like through the different lead sources that you guys use. Or are we afraid to call our friends because we're afraid of being rejected or defamed? What I'm asking you is to be honest with yourself and have the Lord search your heart and say, Lord, do I have a high place in my life? You know, I'm not kidding you. I did a study on this for weeks about high places. And high places and idolatry are the very same thing. It's what we pay homage to. It's what our reigning thoughts are being focused to. A high place could be money. A high place could be fame. A high place could be fear. A high place could be things. A high place could be self-righteousness. And what I'm asking you to do is say, God, search my heart and show me the high places in my life. When I asked him to do that, I was blown away of the things that were high places in my life. And he commands us to tear those high places down. And we're going to talk about the high places of fear today. Because who was supposed to be in the high place? Well, he who is worthy, which is God. God is supposed to only be our stronghold. He is to be the only high place in our life. The first priority in our life is supposed to be Him. And if our reigning thoughts when we are working our businesses have to do with fear, then that is a high place. And that's how you know what a high place is, and that's how you know what to do, and that is to physically tear that sucker down by not paying homage to it any longer, meaning not buying that fear, those fearful thoughts, not submitting to fear of success, not submitting to fear of making mistakes, fear of rejection, and fear of being defamed. Do you understand? When you submit to those thoughts, those fears, you have paid homage, almost like you have brought a burnt offering to a high place, that you've brought a sacrifice. Just like they did in the Old Testament, they brought the sacrifice of the lamb, the bull, the ram, the bushels, the wheat, the herbs, the bread. Do you understand? Bringing forth offerings to that. So when we get overcome with fear, and the fear is afraid of not doing it right, we have, and this is so funny, this is not in my notes. How's that? Nothing of what I'm talking about is in my notes. Why? I don't have a stinking clue. But we won't go through these 500 scriptures, I promise you. But this is the reality, because this is where the Lord convicted me strongly 1 year ago. And it was about that, because I was afraid that God did not want me to succeed. That's why I'm starting here. Because it's an introduction. That's what this is. I was afraid that my Father in heaven did not want me to succeed. I was afraid that he wanted me to stay average and mediocre for the rest of my life, and that truly was not the desire of my heart. The desire of my heart since I was 19 was to touch the lives of millions of people around the world. That was the desire of my heart, and I thought that this God of mine would want me to just do nothing, to have a life of mediocrity and defeat, no victory, no faith. When those things came into my mind, when I went and I asked myself, okay, what are the reigning thoughts in my mind? And fear of not having my dreams come true was one of them. And then I went, whoa. And I started to write down, and I want you to do this. Get out a piece of paper and write down what those fears are that you have. And I just thank you, Lord, for taking us in this direction, because it all has to do with the scriptures we study. Thank you, Lord, for doing this. That you write down, what are the fears? Oh, thank you, God. What are the fears that you have in your life? What are the reigning fears, the reigning thoughts concerning your business, concerning your spouse, your children? And then I want you to write every single one of them down. And what you will see is this is where you take those thoughts captive, you hold it to the obedience of Christ, and you will see the truth. And go, whoa, now that's a lie from the pit of hell. And that is the truth. Because that is the accuser of the brethren that works on your mind 24/7. But there's hope and glory in this, that the Jesus that laid himself on that cross also is in intercession 24/7 for you. And hello, who defeated who? He defeated Satan. And he that is in you is stronger than he that is in the world. That's the truth. But those lies stay in our head until we confront them and hold them captive to the obedience of Christ. So my question to you is, do you have a fear that your God does not want your dreams to come true? Who do you think planted those dreams in your head anyway? The Word of God says that He loves those who diligently seek Him, that He will grant the desires of the hearts of those who diligently seek Him. That's what my Bible says anyway. Holy smokes. Thank you, God, for going in this direction. So, what are your fears? And if they are a reigning thought, when you are working your business, or now that you are in your business, this is now called a high place, and you are commanded to tear the high places down. Read the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah. Commanded to tear the high places down. When you do not tear those high places down, guess what? Destruction comes. And guess who does it? He does. He releases that destructor to come after you if you do not tear down those high places, right? Because it's sin. Now let's go here. What causes fear? This is topic number one. I have five. If you include my intro about high places, that's six. What causes fear is the first question I have. Actually, the second, because I want you to write down what are your fears. What are they? And then I want you to line them up with the truth of the Word of God. In fact, do that now. I'm going to give you 30 seconds right now. Because I don't want my speaking to get in the way of the Lord telling you what your high places are or what your fears are. So let's go ahead and take 30 seconds right now and write them down. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for revealing truth of what is in the minds of the people. Lord, and I ask that you direct the rest of the call to attack the lies. Attack the lies, oh Lord. All right. So what causes fear? Here's a couple things that cause fear, and I have scripture references to go there that if you read these stories, you'll get it. One is ignorance causes fear. You know, the Bible says that my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. Do you read the Word of God? Have you submitted to His holy Word that is freeing? These are not words in a book. His Word is alive. It is alive. And it cuts through flesh, bone, blood. It cuts through your spirit and your soul and your mind. It cuts, it sanctifies, it will set you free. I promise you, make a commitment to doing that, because his word says that my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. They do not know him. And you cannot know him just by prayer and supplication. You will not just know him by going to church. Do you hear me? You will not know him by just going to church. Once a week on a Sunday is not enough for you to be victorious in the marketplace. It's not enough to be victorious over your enemy. It's not enough to be victorious in your marriage or with your children. You have to take that word of God, that Bible. You've got to literally consume it. He says that man should not seek bread alone, but the bread of the living word of God. This is the bread of life. And so his people perish because of a lack of knowledge, because they've not read. And understand, now listen, when I say read. Start from the beginning and go all the way to the end. If you truly want to know your God, this was the biggest revelation I had many years ago when I started in Genesis and went all the way through to Revelation, was this. God was something totally different than what I thought. Why? Because I submitted to a headship as a pastor who could preach 20 minutes once a week. There's no way, and hello, I've been going to church for years. Years and years and years and years and years and years. And you can't possibly get to know God through the mouth of somebody else or the revelation of somebody else. Yes, it can help, but unless you back that revelation or that word through the word of God and your own leading and reading with the word of God, you'll never get a great understanding of truly who he is. And that's why the Bible says, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. And so ignorance causes fear. Sin causes fear. It does. Sin causes fear. Go over with me to Genesis 32:7 if you want to. 32:7 Genesis says, in great fear and distress, Jacob divided his people. Why did he divide his people when Esau and he were coming to meet together? Esau was coming after his brother Jacob. Why in the world would he be in great fear and distress and do something stupid, which was divide his people out and not stand strong and firm knowing that his God would protect him? Why? Because he sinned against his brother. He stole his brother's birthright, is what he did. He stole his brother's birthright, and he stole his brother's blessing. Y'all know the story. At the end of Isaac's life, he's to bless the oldest brother, and Jacob went in there, pretended to be his brother Esau, and he stole his brother's birthright, and he stole the blessing. So why was he in great fear? Because of sin. That's why. Here's another one. What causes fear? Disobedience. We see that with Adam and Eve. Adam hid because he was naked. The Lord said, where are you? And he says, oh, Lord, I hid because I was naked. He disobeyed, and that produced fear. He was told not to eat the fruit of that tree. He did it. He disobeyed, and that produced fear. I was afraid, so I hid for you because I was naked. Here's another thing that causes fear, idolatry. Here's where Christians as a whole have not come into this understanding. I'm telling you, man, I'm praying that God gives me the platforms in this place, because America is rampant with idolatry, and Christianity is also rampant with idolatry. We don't realize it. Why? Because the deceiver does a great job of deceiving. You see, idolatry, when we think of that, we think of the golden calf. We think of the graven images. Oh, no, no, no. Idolatry is anything that exalts itself higher than the knowledge of God. Greed in the Bible, in Proverbs says, and Ecclesiastes, that greed is idolatry. Because it says, one who doesn't have money enough is greed, which is idolatry. It says that right in the book of Proverbs, loud and clear. Why? Because if something controls your life more than him, it is called idolatry. It is called a high place. But idolatry produces fear. We see that all the way through the Old Testament. A lack of faith produces fear. Yes, a lack of trust in who your God is produces fear. And the focus being on you and not on God produces fear. And that is sin. The focus on you is sin. The focus on God is righteousness. So here's Exodus 20:20. It says, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. So there you go. God also brings fear. Isn't that funny? Now see, guys, I go through 500 scriptures because we're not going to get into doctrinal issues or theological twists or my opinion on what the Word of God says. I will not stand on that because that's quicksand. That is absolute quicksand. But what I will stand on are the 500 scriptures that are in the Bible that talk about fear, and let that, you know, it's kind of like Fox News. We report, you decide. So I, in all responsibility, I cannot, and accountability to my creator, I cannot just give my twist on things. This has to be, I report, you decide. So in Exodus 20:20, it says, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that fear, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. Do not be afraid. He brings fear to test you to see if you will trust him or if you will trust in your high place. Pay homage. Bring burnt offerings. Meaning, if you're fearful when you get on the phone to make a phone call and you botch that thing up because of fear, guess what? You paid homage to that God of fear. If you decide to overcome fear and walk by faith and not by sight, you have not paid homage to the God of fear. And that's the little G God, by the way. Okay, let me see if I can find the rest of the scriptures concerning. Here we go. Here's another one. This is Ezekiel 30:13 says, I will destroy the idols and put an end to the images in Memphis. I will spread fear throughout the land. This is God speaking. Ezekiel 30:13. I will destroy the idols and put an end to the images in Memphis. Isn't that funny? Memphis, just like Memphis, Tennessee. I will spread fear throughout the land. Why? Because there was idolatry in the land. And you know what? When I read the whole Bible through, cover to cover, this is what I found. That God puts up with a lot of stuff. He does. When the Bible says he is slow to anger, he is rich in mercy, he is graceful, all of that. Oh, hello? But the straw that breaks the camel's back is this, idolatry. He puts up with murder. He puts up with lying. He puts up with deceit. He puts up with all those things. But idolatry is a thing that he hates the most, that he does not put up for at all. When people have turned and they've done all the ever horrible things, dishonored him in so many ways, when they finally build an idol, oh, that's when his wrath comes. So, tear down the high place of fear. Tear down the idol of fear. Tear it down. It ain't worth it. The destruction that comes is absolutely not worth it. And we're going to pray later. I'm going to pray for all of you guys about this later. In fact, we're going to make confessions of fear to our Lord and say we're sorry. So Genesis 3:10 says, I was afraid because I was naked. Remember, that was the disobedience of Adam. Unbelief produces fear. I hope you wrote these down. One, God brings on fear to test us, to see if we're going to be overcome by it, or are we going to stand strong in faith in him. That tests our bank of faith. Ignorance, number two. Number three, sin. Number four, disobedience. Number five, idolatry. Number six, lack of faith. Number seven, lack of trust in him. Number eight, focus on you and not on God. And then unbelief. Here's the second topic we're going to talk about. What does fear produce? We're going to go through the scriptures and find everything that the Bible says fear produces. It says, Jeremiah 30:10 says, so do not fear and do not be dismayed. In Jeremiah 30:10, it talks about the people running rampant, being ridiculous, and how it leads to destruction. Actually, here's a list for you. Fear produces destruction, produces jealousy, envy, murder. Don't believe me? Go to Kings where you talk about Saul and David. Saul and David. King Saul was afraid of David. He was jealous of David, which produced envy and then murder. He tried to murder David. When he sent David out and he says, I'd like to give you my beautiful daughter to be your wife, but first you need to go slay 100 Philistines and bring me back the foreskins of 100 Philistines. He sent one man into battle against 100 Philistines. And David came back with 200 foreskins instead. Why? He went through that battle proclaiming God. Proclaiming that he was his refuge, that God was his strength, that he was his strong tower. Instead of being afraid of being overcome, he walked in the authority of his God, knowing that God would protect him and proclaiming that. That's what fear produces, jealousy, envy, murder. I've seen it through the years. I've trained tens of thousands of network marketers through the years. And that's what I've seen. People being afraid of somebody else who produces more, then they start judging that person and their production. Then they are jealous of that person's production. They start picking that person apart, spreading evil words about that person, and trying to destroy them and tear them down. I am telling you, the FTC and the FDA don't have anything against somebody with a malicious heart of jealousy. Don't have anything against a gossiper or a slanderer. Nothing. I've seen organizations be torn down because of the root of jealousy that comes from fear of not being able to do a good of a job, fear of rejection that then produces no results in their business, and then they are jealous of those who can get those results. And they have a heart of jealousy, a spirit of judgment, which leads to envy, and then trying to destroy a person and tear them down to the level that they feel they can overcome them. Saul and David is a prime example. We also see that fear produces people running away, running from their responsibilities, quitting their business. That's what fear will produce, is a destruction in your business. Listen, over the last few weeks, you guys have come to that place, especially that gentleman that gave that testimony, that you realize God handpicked you for this time, that he chose you for such a time as this and chose the business you're in for such a time as this. It's obviously the hand of God is on your company. It is obvious. It's flourishing. There's thousands of Christians involved in the company. It's flourishing. The favor of God is on your company. You're in the right place at the right time. I know that's a cliche, and I know it sounds sick and disgusting, but it's the truth. He's trained you up for such a time as this, and fear will cause you to destroy your business because you will not be able to afford to stay in it. Cause you to run away into something else. We also see that fear produces trembling, that it can grip us, produces anxiety, and it also produces the reality of being overcome by fear. The scriptures that I'm going to read you are going to prove this. Jeremiah 42:16, it says, then the sword you fear will overtake you. The famine you dread will follow you. Hello. Why? Because the sword that we fear causes us to tremble, grips us, and we look at our adversary and not at our God. Because we look at the fear of rejection, why we won't call our friends and families and have a home presentation or invite people to a meeting or talk to that checker that's given us all the signs that they need to be involved in our business, because we're gripped with fear. And then look at this. The sword you fear will overtake you. The famine you dread will follow you. Trust me, there will be a famine if you don't go to work. If you do not work your business as unto the Lord and show him that you are faithful with small things, that he can trust you with more things, you will have famine that will fall upon you and your family. Here's another, Ezekiel 27:35, it says, their faces are distorted with fear. Have you ever seen that? I have. Have you ever seen it in you? That means that people can physically see fear. They can physically feel our fear. Here's an example. Hello, I'm calling about our business opportunity. That is plagued with fear. I don't care what your personality is. We know there's four types. If you want to have a greater understanding of that, and, you know, go to my site. There's some CDs from North Carolina that are all biblically based on our business. I talk about the four different types of personalities that exist in our business, and it doesn't matter what personality you are. You do not have to be plagued with fear. You know, there's a personality that is more meek, is more humble. There's a personality that would do anything to help somebody, but that doesn't mean that you walk in fear. And fear doesn't sound like meekness, if you understand what I'm saying. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's that underlying current of being afraid, and people can hear it when you talk to them on the phone. They can see it in your face that you're afraid to talk to them. And so if fear is a reigning high place in your life, you have to tear it down. Oh, this is very exciting. I can't wait to see what happens out of this call. Mark 5:33 says, trembling with fear, they told him the whole truth. That's good. That one produces well. But if you're trembling in fear of your life, that maybe you'll step up and tell the truth. That'd be good. Luke 1:12, for a lot of people, they need to do that. They need to be struck by fear in order to do that. And to be honest with you, I've got such a fear of the Lord that I have to obey, which is why this call to me is scary, because there's some people that are not going to be happy with me after this call. Luke 1:12 says, was startled and was gripped with fear. That's what I just talked about, that we can be gripped with fear, trembling with fear. Luke 8:37, the people asked Jesus to leave after he had casted out a whole mess of demons out of this guy, and the man was completely set free and healed. And then they said they were overcome with fear. Interesting. Overcome with fear, so they asked the deliverer to leave. Duh. Same thing. Have we ever been overcome with fear in our businesses that we just walk away from it? Have we seen people overcome with fear that we choose to turn on the television instead? Yes. Instead of asking the Savior to stay and be our Redeemer, be our Deliverer, instead of asking the Holy Spirit to be our Counselor, saying, Holy Spirit, come and help me. Instead, overcome with fear, we ask the Savior the Redeemer, the Deliverer, to leave. Interesting. I know there's times in my life where I've done that, that I have been overcome with fear instead of asking my Savior, my Deliverer, my Redeemer, to help me. Let me see if I can find any more on this. Okay, no, that completes that one. All right. Let's go to number three, topic number three, fear of man. Ooh, this is one of my favorite topics, by the way. This is plagued in our churches. It really is absolutely plagued. In fact, you guys promise me that you will not let the fear of man overcome you in the bodies in which you serve. That you will not let the fear of what people will think, which is being defamed. Do not let the fear of what people will think if you praise your God. You know what I'm saying? That if you take a stand for him, don't worry about what people think, because that's the fear of man. That is the fear of man. And the fear of man produces no results. It produces bondage, to be honest with you. Worried about what the leaders in your church will think about you. Worried about whether or not you're getting it right. You know what? Giving it a try is the best shot that you can give. Give it a shot. Doing nothing is worse than not giving it your best shot, by far. Here we go in Proverbs 29:25. It says, fear of man will prove to be a snare. If you are afraid of your fellow man and what they think, it will be a snare to you, because you will never, ever live in victory. You will never, ever discover the fullness of who God created you to be. For example, let's say you have a prophetic gift, that God gave you a prophetic gift, and that is to divide truth from lies. And you feel an utterance of the Spirit come on you, and you want to speak that word that God has given you, but you stay seated and you don't say a word because you're afraid of what they will think, afraid of doing it wrong. God honors those who at least give it their best shot. He doesn't honor those who are overcome by fear. Do you hear me? Fear of man will prove to be a snare. Fear of man will prove to be a snare. Fear of what the guy on the phone is going to say to you will prove to be a snare. Why? Because it stops you from doing your best, giving it your best shot. It will prove to be a snare. Deuteronomy 1:7 says, do not be afraid of any man. That's what it says. Do not be afraid of any man. I could go off for a half an hour on this topic, but we don't have the time. But I encourage you, do not be afraid of man. Be afraid of God. Do not be afraid. In fact, in Matthew it says this. He says, do not be afraid of the one who can just hurt your body and murder you. Be afraid of the one who can throw you into the pit of hell. That's what he says. Oh, you know what? And I forgot to write which book this one came out, but it's 1524. I forgot to write which book it came from. It says, I was afraid of the people, so I gave in. Isn't that interesting? Have we given in because of being afraid of people? Have we given in to not pursuing our goals and our dreams because of people? Have we given in or given up our fervor, our fight, our zeal because afraid of what people say or think or do? Have we given up or given in? You know, it's interesting. And here's another one, the 10 spies in Numbers 1:26 through 41. I'm going to go there. Actually, I don't have time to go there, do I? I'm almost out of time. 1:26 through 41 talks about the 12 spies that Moses sent out into the land of Canaan to take a look at the area. And he sent these spies out. There was one from each tribe. And 10 of the spies came back, and they gave a report, and they brought back, you know, fruit from the land. And they were to go in there and report who was in the land and what was to happen and all this kind of stuff. And the 10 spies came back gripped with fear. And what happened was, is they then gave a report saying, these people are bigger than us, they are stronger than us. In our own eyes, we were nothing but grasshoppers. They will overcome us, we cannot fight them, we cannot win. Even though the Lord told them that this is your land, and I will give your enemy into your hands, the 10 spies came back and murmured and complained and were gripped with fear. They sent this fear out through the whole camp, and the camp rebelled against Moses and rebelled against God. And then God gave them into the hands of the enemy up on the hill country, except for two. And this was the curse that came upon them because they would not obey and trust God. Instead, they were gripped with fear. They walked by sight and not by faith. We talked about that last week. They walked by sight and not by faith. They looked at the people who were in that land and said, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're greater in number.
We cannot take these people on. Even though God said, I will give the enemy into your hand, they said, no, we can't do it. And then the two, which was Caleb and Joshua, God said, this is what it was. He said, none of them are going to walk into the promised land. But Joshua and Caleb, who have been faithful, and all the little ones who don't know the difference between right and wrong, I will give them the promised land. And did you know that's what happened? That Joshua and Caleb and the little people, young ones of that generation that did not know Egypt, were the ones that were led in there. After all those other people died, then God gave Canaan to Joshua. The Joshua in the Battle of Jericho, hello? Yes. And the book of Joshua is all about victory. It's all about overcoming the enemy. They were small in number, smaller people, and they overcame their enemy. Why? Because God gave the enemy into their hands. And so fear of man produces destruction on your life. It keeps you from fulfilling the will of God, the perfect will that he has for your life. The fear of man will keep you from sustaining yourselves in faith. The fear of man will cause you to do what the Israelites did, those 10 men. It will cause you to gossip. It will cause you to murmur. It will cause you to complain. It will cause you to be jealous and cause you to be paralyzed. It will cause you to give up and to give in. That's what the fear of man produces. That's what we see in just that one story in the book of Numbers. It causes you to disobey God. You know, this is where he says, I give Israel my certificate of divorce because they have committed adultery with me. Because they believed in fear more than they believed in him. Which one do you believe more in? Okay, let's move on. I could go here forever. Here are commandments concerning fear. This is what God commands us to do concerning fear. You ready? Proverbs 35:4. It says, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will be with you. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. If you have to write that on your telephone, do it. If you are fearful in heart concerning building your business, concerning your dreams, it says, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He shows up for me every time. He is faithful. He will show up for you. Proverbs 41:9 says, I took you from the ends of the earth. And I believe this is a prophetic word, by the way. He says, I took you from the end. No, this is Isaiah. Oh, I'm sorry. The other one was Isaiah also. This is Isaiah 35:4 was the last scripture that I read. This is Isaiah 41:9, which is like my favorite book in the Bible, by the way. He says, I took you from the ends of the earth. From its farthest corners, I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Wow. I truly believe that is a prophetic word. Isaiah 41:9. I want you to write that down. I want you to insert your name. I took you and put your name. From the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners, I called you and put your name. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you, and I have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Ooh. Here's Isaiah verse 41, verse 13. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Now, do some of you think that he'll help you in everything but your business? I hope not, because that's ignorance. I hope there's not a one of you who thinks that God will help me only with church. That's not true. That is not true. That's to say that he's not the God of the marketplace. That's to say that he's only the God of church. He's not God of the whole world if you say that he's not to help you with your business. Isaiah 43:1 says, fear not. Do you understand? That's a commandment. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. Oh, that's awesome. That if you've been plagued with debt, you've just finished a famine in your life. He says, fear not, I have redeemed you. All you have to do is believe that you've been redeemed. And the Redeemer will prove himself to be real. Isaiah 51:12 says, I, even I, he who comforts you. Who are you that you fear mortal man, the sons of man who are but grass, that you forget the Lord your Maker who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth? I'm going to read that again. Even I, he who comforts you, who are you to fear mortal man, the sons of men who are but grass, that you forget the Lord your Maker who strengthened, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. Isn't that awesome? And again, that's what produces fear, is not remembering God and who he is. Isaiah 54:4, do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Did you hear me? Not me. Did you hear him? Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Hello. Do not be overcome with fear, because you will suffer shame. But do not be afraid, and you will not suffer shame. You know when you get on the phone? You know when you do your business presentations and you botch it up? You mess that thing up so bad? Listen, I've seen so many messed up business presentations close $200,000 in volume in one meeting, where someone messed it up bad, but walked by faith anyway. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. That is Isaiah 54:4. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You're always humiliated if fear is your God. Oh, I love that. Here's Romans 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. No, you received a spirit, the Holy Spirit, that brings freedom. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Are you a slave to fear? If you are, tear down the high place of fear. Haggai 2:5 says, my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Do you know, check this out, this will trip you out. Out of the 211 scriptures that talked about being afraid, that 99% of them were a commandment saying, do not be afraid, do not fear. Out of 325 scriptures about fear itself, 90% of those had to do with fearing the Lord. Isn't that interesting? 10% were commandments against fear. So it's divided. He commands us not to fear man, not to fear anyone, not to fear a battle, not to fear circumstances, not to fear. That's the commandment. 90% out of 500 scriptures, I'd have to say that 97% of the scriptures, over 50% of those scriptures were a commandment not to fear. The other 50 were who to fear. And I'll give you that in a minute. Here you go. Here's some more. Genesis 26:24 says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Some of you need to post that up in your mirrors in your bathroom. Numbers 14:9 says, do not be afraid of the people of the land. 14:9 goes on to say, do not be afraid of them. Deuteronomy 1:7, do not be afraid of any man. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Here's Deuteronomy 23 says, do not be faint-hearted and afraid. Ruth 3:10 says, and now, my daughter, do not be afraid. Here's Isaiah 37:6, do not be afraid of what you have heard. This is a great one. Jeremiah 51:46, here's why, because it goes on in here. Do not lose heart or be afraid when rumors are heard in the land. Ezekiel 2:6, do not be afraid of them or their words. Some of you may be going through a trial right now of false testimony being born against you. Here's the word of the Lord directly to you. Do not lose heart or be afraid when rumors are heard in the land. Do not be afraid of their words. Hello. He has covered all of it, all the things that we could possibly be afraid of. Let me show you. After studying this, this was a conclusion I came to. He commanded his people to not be afraid of the wicked, vile murderers in the land. He commanded his people not to be afraid of a king that was wicked, that was not a king who walked in justice. He told them not to be afraid of a king who wasn't following him. And what are we afraid of? The phone? Hey, these people had every right in the world to be afraid, if you think about it. They had real things to be afraid of. Here an angel shows up to Mary, or an angel shows up to Joseph and says, do not be afraid. all throughout the Bible, angels showing up. Could you imagine how massive and scary that would be? And the angel always says, do not be afraid. The angel of the Lord came to Joshua, do not be afraid of the people trying to kill you. He says, don't be afraid of those people who are after your life. Listen, go back to the Bible times. Scary times. The book, the Bible itself is rated R, and in some places rated X. And he's telling them, don't be afraid. Listen, what do we have to be afraid of in comparison to them? Not a whole lot. Most of us are gripped with fear on a very small scale. But the enemy has made it a very big deal, and it is not a big deal. It is a big deal if we don't have God in his rightful place, which is on the throne. Here's some solutions to fear. Actually, let me give you, whom shall you fear? Isaiah 8:13 says, the Lord Almighty is the one you are to fear. Write that down. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to fear. Here's Luke 1:50. His mercy extends to those who fear him. Ooh, isn't that beautiful? Ephesians 6:5, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear. Philippians 2:12 says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Hebrews 11:7 says, Noah, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Revelations 14:7 says, fear God and give him the glory. Psalms 27 says, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Man, how's that? Whom shall you be afraid if the Lord is the stronghold of your life? Absolutely nobody. Now let's go here. Solutions to fear. You ready? Here's number 6 of our topics. Here's a solution. Trust in God. Number 2, it said the Bible tells us to stay calm. Number 3, we see confessions of faith by David. That's what he did all through Psalms. Confessions of faith is what sustained him and casted out fear. Number 3, wisdom. 4, sound judgment. 5, discernment. 6, humility. Let me prove them to you. Psalms 23:4 says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. 25:14 says, the Lord confides in those who fear him. Do you want the Lord to confide in you? Do you want him to take you to the secret high places? In the heavenlies, the Lord confides in those who fear him. We are to fear the Lord, not anybody else. Did you hear me? We are to fear the Lord, not the phone. We are to fear the Lord, not success. We are to fear the Lord, not making mistakes. We are to fear the Lord, not fear rejection. We are to fear the Lord, not fear being defamed. We are to fear the Lord, not fear poverty. 27:1 of Psalm says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? 27:3, same book, says, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. This is David making a confession of faith. 33:18 says, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. Don't you want the eyes of the Lord on you? Then you must fear him, not shame, not going broke, not making mistakes. 34:9, same book, says, those who fear him will lack nothing. Do you want to lack nothing? Do you want to be totally satisfied? Then fear the Lord. Fear the Lord, not fear itself. 46:1, God is our refuge in ever-present trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth will give way and the mountains fall into the sea, we will not fear. Psalm 103:1 says, so great is his love for those who fear him. Don't you want to feel the greatness of his love? Then you must fear the Lord and not fear all those other things. Fear the Lord and great things will come with you. 145:19 says, he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. Ha ha! Can you believe that one? That is awesome. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. That means you faithfully work your business. You faithfully work your business in fear of him. You work as unto him. You work with all your might for him in your business. When you're making those calls and you're pitching your products, you give it your best and work it with a spirit of excellence. Yes. You do it in righteousness and with justice. And he will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. I love it. You see, some of you need to work your business out of fear. I'm serious. Out of fear for him. Because if you don't work that business and you can't be trusted with those small things, then famine will come upon your land. Why? We talked about that 3 weeks ago about poverty. It leads to poverty. Laziness leads to poverty. Working your business half-heartedly leads to poverty. He gave you this business to work with a spirit of excellence and to give it your best shot and not to be overcome with fear. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Not tolerate it, but to hate it. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord adds length to life. You want life added to you? Then fear God, not the phone. Proverbs 15:33, fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom. 22:4 says, humility and fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. Humility and fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. How's that? I think you guys are getting a clear picture here. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Confess your sin. We talked about what causes fear. Sin. Confess your sin quickly and be done with it that you may go and have perfect love that casts out fear. What is, I can't read my writing on this one. I think it's Joshua 7:10, maybe. It says, if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. Oh, man. Listen to the voice of the people who are calling. And you will see what their needs are, and that will clearly remove fear. Psalm 6:3 says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. That is a confession of faith. 118:6 says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. Isaiah 12:2 says, be careful, keep calm, and do not be afraid. Isn't that awesome? It says, I will trust and not be afraid. There you go. Solution to fear is trust in your God. Gird yourself up in trusting that he does want you to succeed. Joel 2:21, be not afraid, O land, be glad and rejoice. I love that. When temptations come of fear, I rejoice. I truly do. I'm like, okay, Lord, what have you got in store for me on this one? Because the enemy's working double time to keep me away from it. Zechariah 8:13 says, do not be afraid, but let your hand be strong. Did you hear me? Let your hand be strong. Work with all your might. Matthew 1:20, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Hello. Did he have a reason to be afraid to take Mary home as his wife? Yes. They would have stoned her. They would have stoned her for being impregnated without being married. Yes, death and destruction he could have feared. But God told him, don't be afraid. Mark 5:36, don't be afraid, just believe. How's that? Don't be afraid, just believe. So that's a solution to fear. Replace it with faith. John 14:27. Don't be troubled. Do not be afraid. Okay, come on. Out of 211 scriptures concerning being afraid, 99% of them commanded us not to be afraid. We see that in the Bible there was plenty of reason for these people to be afraid, and he said don't. We know who we shall fear, and that is God. Fear God. Not the phone, not success, not mistakes, not rejection, not shame, not going broke. You know, let's say that there's a goal, there's something that you truly want to achieve. You truly want to achieve. Let's say it's the next position in your company. But you're afraid to try because you think you won't hit it. Right? Fear of failure. Guess what fear of failure does? Fear of failure produces destruction because it makes you not work your business. Or it makes you work it half-heartedly. It makes you work with the high place of fear, which then you don't achieve the goal. I would fear the God of the heavens and the earth. I suggest that you fear the God who is the promoter of all things. It's your God that if you work and you deserve it, he will promote you. It's God that promotes you, not man. And if you show him that you can be trusted with faith, be trusted with the business that he gave you, to work it as unto him with all your might, and to let your hands be strong, then guess what? He will promote you. And that takes faith, to work it as unto him with faith and not fear. That concludes my message. I hope it was helpful. I'm going to open up the lines right now. Okay, we are all live. And what I want to do is I want to close my message with all of us going before the Lord first, and then we will take prayer requests and comments. But let's just make a confession right now. All of us, if you guys want to repeat this after me, let's just go ahead and proclaim it. I would love it if you guys would do this. And if your line is muted, then we won't be able to hear you, but that's okay. If you don't want to be heard, that's fine. But let's do this. Okay, and everyone say this after me. Say, forgive me, Lord.
Forgive me, Lord.
Lord.
For fearing man.
For fearing man.
For fearing success.
For fearing success.
For fearing failure.
For fearing failure.
Fearing shame. For fearing making mistakes.
For fearing making mistakes.
And fearing rejection.
And fearing rejection.
Forgive me, Lord.
Forgive me, Lord.
For not fearing you instead.
Say,
deliver me, O Lord.
Deliver me, O Lord.
From this fear. And impart into me. A holy fear. The holy fear you gave Noah. That by faith.
He built an ark.
To save his family. Lord, you gave me an ark. And it's the business you put in my lap. To save my family. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Guys, our very words condemn us with fear. Our very words can condemn our businesses when we say, but I can't. It's not going to work anyway. Why try? Replace those words with, I will not fear because my God is with me. And I will forge ahead in this plan that God gave me.
We hope you've enjoyed this live audio training by Danny Johnson. For more information about upcoming seminar events and to get immediate free access to trainings, tools, tips, and resources that will transform your life and explode your business, visit DannyJohnson.com today. That's DannyJohnson.com. All content on this audio program is copyright of DannyJohnson.com, all rights reserved. DannyJohnson.com is a division of Call to Freedom International, LLC.